This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Good morning. Welcome to Cap and Company, ESPN 1000. With the awesome Danny Zetterman, the equally awesome Christopher Black, I'm David Kaplan. Phone lines are here for you. We get a lot of calls every day. I know you're all at home. Tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa, play ESPN Chicago. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So news drops overnight that ESPN is going to release the 30 for 30, 10-part Jordan Bulls Dynasty documentary, and that sounds amazing. Amazing. And so we had our meeting this morning, and Danny asked Chris and I five questions. And I said to these guys, and I'll answer these questions with them, we'll go through these, but I said to them, did I appreciate, I was in the throes of it because I was working, but did I appreciate every night running home going, I'm watching the greatest basketball player ever. Ever. The GOAT is our guy. Maybe the greatest dynasty of my lifetime is our team. Like, loved it, watched it, covered a lot of it. Sylvie did the same thing. Did we truly appreciate it as a fan running home and going, it's appointment TV, man. Hey, what are you doing Tuesday? No, I can't do anything because the Bulls are on. Or do we go about our lives and go, yeah, we got this great team and it's fun and when I can watch, I will. But like, did you really appreciate that? What was the greatest legacy? Was the first question Danny asked me today. Greatest legacy of the Bulls dynasty. That's a great question, Danny. Great question.
I can't take credit for the questions, Cappy. They're from ESPN.com.
No, I know. But you asked it to me before you ever handed me the sheet. The greatest legacy? Like, there's so many layers to that. Like, yeah, the easy answer is we had the greatest player in the history of the sport. Is he the greatest team sport athlete in North American sports history? I'm leaving like Premier League and Bundesliga, all that out of it. That I would probably say the greatest team sport athlete in North American sports history. I don't know if you guys agree with me. Just based on numbers, and he's a good guy, Wayne Gretzky. His dominance in his sport was unrivaled. I don't think there's anybody even close. When you think about it, by sheer numbers and titles, but sheer numbers that he put up, he probably goes down as the greatest. The greatest athlete? I got to put Michael Jordan right there. Most dominant? Could you put Wilt Chamberlain in that discussion? Maybe. In his numbers, they changed the rules because of him. The greatest legacy of that dynasty is that they took on all comers in a physical, tough era. I'm watching Bulls-Knicks last night. And my wife just doesn't. I love her dearly. She's the greatest. She just doesn't get it. Why are we watching a game that you already know the result from the 90s? Hun, it's the greatest freaking dynasty of my lifetime. And that's Michael Jordan. Like, I'm looking at the TV when it went to halftime, and there is Michael Jordan soaked in sweat walking off, and right to his left is Scottie Pippen, Phil Jackson's in the shot, Dennis Rodman. There's Jeff Van Gundy, who looks like he's balding, and he's like 20-whatever years old. And I'm looking at it going, that was our team, man. I said to her, go, Mindy, did I truly appreciate it? Like, I know now, I'm a different guy now. I've gone through a lot of life experiences, not all good, since that run started. So I'm a different human being. Like, I have a different perspective. Did I appreciate it to the level I should have is a question I keep asking myself since I've been watching all these games. Like, I know in 2016, as immersed in the Cubs as I was, doing the pre-post every day, writing a book on that magical building process of Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer, and the Cubs. Like, I know I appreciated it. I was immersed in it every single day. I don't know if I appreciated it as much as I think I should have appreciated it. Loved it. Don't get me wrong. Watched every game. Loved it. But did I appreciate... I asked Chris this, and he said... I don't think he agrees with me. Here's my question. Did I appreciate it more in 16 because my perspective on life had changed? I'd had a near-death experience. I've talked about that on the air when my heart stopped. I have a special needs son. My dad dropped dead at 68. I went through a divorce. Like, I had a lot of crap happen in my life, and I choose to look at the positives in my life rather than some of the negatives I've gone through. So maybe my perspective on everything changed. Did social media, because I'm very active on social media, especially after Cubs games, did social media make me more focused? Chris argued with me and said, no, maybe it made you less focused because you've got your cell phone here, your iPad there. You got multiple games on multiple TVs. We took the Bears for an example. Okay, over there's the Red Zone. Over there's the NFL Network Game Day broadcast, NFL Game Day. There's the other game that's on the other channel, and there's the Bears game. Plus, you got the Sunday papers around you, your son sitting to your right, you got your fantasy team, and like maybe I was less focused on sports. I don't know. Chris, do you think social media, because you're very, very active on social media, you go to the game, you feel like social media makes you a more focused fan because you give perspectives on social media and you have a lot of followers, or less focused?
No, social media creates a distraction. So I think most people would answer that you are less focused. The reason why Jordan and the Bulls were so special in the 90s was because when you sat down to watch them play basketball, you watched them play basketball. You were not on your phone checking your timeline. You were not looking at the Instagram photos. You were not doing this, that, and the other while you were consuming the Chicago Bulls play. That's why they had such a great impact. And you can also go back to the fact that this is one of the great teams in NBA history, but they also had our national focus from the start to the finish. From Magic and Michael to Michael going against the Jazz in back-to-back years in his final shot. They had our attention through that eight-year span. So I disagree. I think social media obviously creates a distraction in your life. And Cap, I think it's I am not very active when I'm watching games. I'm consuming the games. I'm very active during this show on social media, but I try to limit my interaction on social media throughout the day because I don't think it's necessarily healthy to be doing social media and to be constantly on a timeline all day, every day. I try and get away from it. So it's refreshing to watch a team and watch a game and consume it without having that distraction with it. So, I mean, you asked me earlier today whether or not I appreciated what I saw in the 90s with Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, and my answer was yes, I appreciated it. I was a kid. I loved it. It was what I was obsessed with. It's the only thing I cared about. I don't care about school. I don't care about chores. I don't care about anything else. I wanted to watch NBA basketball. More importantly, I wanted to watch the Chicago Bulls play basketball. So I was consuming it. That's what I did. It's the only thing I knew as a kid was watching basketball. I think it's kind of worked out pretty well for me in my life and how things have kind of played out because I don't need the algebra, but I do need to know things about the NBA. So, you know, when you go back to it and when I think about it, yeah, the perspective's changed for me a little, but I also consumed it in the moment and loved every minute of it. There was nothing cooler than Michael Jordan. And there's nothing cooler, like, even it, remove the basketball. He just looked cooler than every other player on the court.
He did.
Like, the way he wore his uniform, the little the thing on his leg, that the little armband, leg band that was on his leg, that looked cooler than every other player who wore one in the league. You know what I'm saying? The shorts under the shorts, that was cool. His shoes, that was cool. Everything about it. Better
the way he dressed at the press conferences. Just,
yeah,
he was
a smooth
fashion plate coming in.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I consumed it. It's all I did. I read all the articles, Sam Smith in the newspaper. I was obsessed with the NBA. When the highlights would come on SportsCenter or NBA Tonight on the old ESPN2 show, I consumed it. That's what I'd play. Video games, NBA Live was a great video game for Sega Genesis. That's what I played. It's all I did. I pretended to play basketball inside when the weather was crappy. I was outside playing basketball when the weather was nice. Even when it was crappy, sometimes you'd have to wear the gloves when you're playing basketball outside, which that sucked. But then you could convince yourself that your dribbling was getting better because you were wearing gloves and it was an obstacle. That's what I did. So I consumed it. I don't have remorse over the fact of how I consumed early 90s basketball and Michael Jordan because I was there.
Like Danny... The TV's so different now. You get the NBA package, and you watch any game, anytime, and TNT has games, and ESPN has games, and ABC has games, plus NBC Sports Chicago's every Bulls game. So it's all local. Danny was in college from 95 to 2000, so he didn't get all the regular season games. He consumed all the playoff games. Like today, he had every freaking game you want. If you're a fan of Damian Lillard, you can get every game you want. You can literally see every game. It's just a different way to do it. So that was my question. Did I appreciate it? I think I did. Watching last night, man, I'm looking going, look at freaking Patrick Ewing knocking down jumpers. Look at this scene. Look at Rodman feeding Longley, finishing on the break with a power dunk right over the top of Ewing. Ewing barking at one of the officials. I think it was Joey Crawford. I'm like, this is incredible, man. Incredible. God, I'd love to go back to that time and see if I enjoyed it as much as I did last night. Which of the Bulls' three-peat runs was better? The first three or the second three? We answer that question next, and we welcome your calls on it as well. Which one did you think was better? 312-332-3776. Biggest name drop contest today. As well. Be right back.
It's Cap and Co. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
In a contest here, get the biggest celebrity to call us. This show, Carmen Yerk, Waddle Sylvie, with the help of our great listeners, will get the biggest celebrity to call their shows. We keep a running list on Friday afternoon, April 3rd. We will determine who the biggest celebrity is to make sure it's not an impersonator. That celebrity must tweet their jumping on at ESPN 1000 in Chicago from their verified account. If you get the biggest celebrity, you get a $500 gift card to Meats by Lins. You can visit them on their website. Visit eatangus.com. Eatangus.com. At eatangus.com, they have a number of high-quality protein packs to choose from. Steaks, pork, ground beef, you name it. They sell to all the top restaurants. And obviously, with the shutdown going on, they have opened up their business to you, the consumer. It's the best. And a $250 online gift card to Club Hawthorne from Hawthorne Racecourse, which is Chicago's hometown track. Bet now at clubhawthorne.com. So that $250 lets you play the horses. You may win a ton. Get a pick from Eddie O. Who knows? A couple winners. So it's a cool gift pack. So, again, try and get the biggest name celebrity you can. We had Jim Peterick from Survivor and Ides of March, and he played his guitar for us yesterday on the air. It was really cool. So he was on the phone. We had a lot of fun talking with him, so see what you can do. 312-332-3776. Which three-peat run was better? 91 through 93, 96 through 98. You can make a case, obviously, for both because they were incredibly cool. But for me, it was a fairly easy decision. I don't know how Chris and Danny would vote. I'll ask them in a second. For me, Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, the second three, because when Michael retired, we never knew if he was coming back or not. We kind of thought, there's no way he's not going to play again. And then when he wasn't very good at baseball, it was, he's got to play basketball again. But I don't think anybody saw the Dennis Rodman portion coming to the point where the building on the Kennedy that is now, is it, Chris, is that building on the Kennedy BMO Bank? Danny, we drive by it every day. Is that BMO Harris Bank? It's one of the banks. That was Bigsby and Crothers, the clothing store, men's clothing store. They also had a restaurant. And they had Rodman on there, and they would, every time he dyed his hair, they would literally send a painter out to paint the hair of Dennis Rodman on the side of the building. And I had to climb up there to do a feature. Let me tell you something. That fire escape on the side of the building, as cars are whizzing by at 70 miles an hour, scarier than you can imagine. And I have a fear of heights anyway. It was terrifying. But they ended up having to tell Bigsby and Crothers, you got to stop. It's causing traffic jams as people slow down to see what Dennis's next hairstyle is going to be. But it was like the Beatles had landed here. It was insane. Rodman, Pippen, Jordan, Phil Jackson, who had gone to win 11 titles as a head coach. I mean, just unreal. There's Steve Kerr, who's now this amazingly good coach. Watching Steve Kerr hit a jumper yesterday, I'm like, my God. We had Steve Kerr. I mean, all these different guys. Luke Longley filling a lane, dunking over the top of Patrick Ewing. Rodman jumping into his arms. It was like, that was us, man. And now to see how bad it is? My goodness. I mean, that was the mountaintop. You couldn't get. That was Mount Everest. That's the highest peak you could get. And now it's a freaking, it's the Grand Canyon. It's awful. Chris, which are the better three-peat for you?
Well, if you break it down, Cap, I think you can go with a lot of the positives that you pointed to with the later run. And when you compare it to the earlier run, you know, obviously Dennis Rodman, better player than Horace Grant, right? So you can say, okay, the edge goes to the second three-peat. You would say, okay, they have championship experience. So you'd say edge goes to the second three-peat. You'd say some of the bit players, the role players on the team, like Tony Kukoc. There was no Tony Kukoc on the first team, right? Mm-hmm. His ability off the bench to run the offense, to mix him with Jordan Pippen as a third offensive option, something the first team did not have. You mentioned Steve Kerr, a three-point assassin. Again, even though the Bulls in the first 3 years had good three-point shooters, no one like Steve Kerr for a period of time who was the best three-point shooter in basketball history based on percentages for a minute in time in the NBA. He was on that team. So there's a lot of positives for that first three-peat. The one thing that I would go back to, though, in the original three-peat, you had a better Michael Jordan. So how much does that outweigh all of those other pieces that we just labeled off in favor of the first three-peat? Because Jordan was better in the first 3 years because he was still in his absolute prime. Towards the end of the second three-peat, he was getting slower, right? More back to the basket, in the post, fadeaway jump shots, still legit, still got it done. But the Michael Jordan that you saw in 91, 92, 93 was a different basketball player, a much more dangerous offensive player than what he was in the later three-peat. So I feel as if I'm compelled to go with the first three-peat because it's a better Jordan. The other thing I would throw out there is John Paxson was a better second guard to Michael Jordan than what you saw in Ron Harper in the second three-peat. Paxson in the first three-peat was legit. Defensive player, could bury three-point shots, and he got hot in finals. So that's a player that I think is a difference when you look at and compare it to the second three-peat. Now, again, you could make the argument that Pippen was a little bit better, more enhanced in that second three-peat because he was coming into his own in the first three-peat. Kind of reminded me of Kawhi Leonard in 2014 with the Spurs, where he was a player who you saw potential, and then on the biggest stage, you saw him become one of the better players in the league.
Right.
And it was shocking to see it happen before your eyes because that's not a normal thing to witness throughout basketball history. So Pippen better in the second three-peat, but Jordan, I think, is much better in the first, so I'm going to have to go with the first three-peat as the better group. I get it. Rodman is there over Horace Grant, but that first three-peat, Jordan was, without a doubt, a better basketball player than what he was in the second just because he was more athletic. He was able to get to the rim. He could pass. He could do all the different things. So I'm going to go with the first three-peat.
Danny, which one would you go with, kid?
It's a tough one. For me, okay, the 90s Bulls were the heart of my sports pleasure. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe that I'm doing this today because of those 90s Bulls teams. Mm-hmm. I was just a little kid when the Bears won the Super Bowl. I was like 3 years old. Can't really claim memories of that. But this MJ Bulls team was the heart of, and soul of me falling in love with sports. And I think is a catalyst why I do this for a living. So it's like asking me to pick my favorite kid. It's really hard to do that. I'm going to go with the second three-peat.
Who is your favorite kid?
I don't have. I'm not like you. I don't pick favorites, Cap.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go with the second three-peat, and here's why. I think the opponents in the second three-peat were tougher, more athletic. They faced that Reggie Miller Pacers team, which was just a thorn in their side every year in the Eastern Conference playoffs. The Jazz teams that they faced in two of those three finals with Malone and Stockton were unbelievable. Those are two of the greatest players of all time. They're Hall of Famers. Those were really tough opponents for them. And don't forget, they faced a young up-and-coming Shaq and Penny in the Eastern Conference playoffs as well. So I'm going to give the opponents in the second three-peat were tougher and more athletic, which makes it more impressive. But the real reason I'm going with the second one, and statistically speaking, the second three-peat team won more regular season games. The second three-peat team won 203 regular season games. The first three-peat team won 185 regular season games. So if you just want to go with stats, if you're an analytical guy, the second three-peat team was better. But for me, right, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. We lost Jordan after the first three-peat. When he came back for the second one, we realized what we had, and we were like, oh, my God, this is incredible. We may never get this again. So I was a little bit more dialed into that second three-peat. I hung on to every play because I knew what we had, and I knew we lost it, and I didn't know when we were going to lose it again. So I'm going with number two.
Yeah, I'm with you, number two. Here's the other thing. I coached Michael's brother. So I got to know people kind of in that inner circle because of Larry. And I had people around Michael say that after they got eliminated, when Michael came back and he looked, Chris, would you say it's fair to say Michael looked less athletic right when he returned, a little? I mean, he was still a great athlete. I'm not denigrating him. I'm just saying he just looked different. He wasn't that high flyer at that moment.
Well, hold on. For the entire run, after baseball, he was a different basketball player.
But physically after baseball, he was a different human being. He was built in a different way. He wasn't as scrawny. In his early part of his career, he was a light, high-flying kid. When he went to baseball, he dedicated much more time to the weight room, and he kind of bulked up.
Yeah,
he was a different man.
If you go watch Jordan in the first three-peat, he looks different than in the second three-peat.
But he, and I had people around him tell me this, and he has said this, that after they got eliminated when he first came back, he was doing two and three workouts a day. He said, I'm getting my legs back. I'm getting my athleticism back. I had a different approach when I was trying to play baseball. And that he would go down in his house in Highland Park. He had this amazing gym, and he'd be like, it's 11 o'clock, I'm going to go get a third workout in. And he would do squats and box jumps and bench press. He did everything to be able to take the beating again and to get his explosiveness back. And I think when he came back, he got a lot of that explosiveness back. He may not have been the same guy he was in 88 to 92, but he got a lot of it back after they got eliminated in the playoffs when he first came back. 312-332-3776. The first three were amazing. The second three was like the Beatles for me. Let's go to Brian. He's up. You know what? Hold on, Brian. Let me take a quick break. I'll come back and get to Brian and Jeff and all your calls. Which of the Bulls' three-peat runs was better? We answer that question and welcome your calls on it. 312-332-3776. Plus, what's your favorite memory from the Bulls' run? Is there something? That Bigsby Crothers building, that's one of my favorites. We'll be right back.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
We're talking about ESPN has announced they are dropping the 10-part documentary on the Bulls' chase for their sixth championship. And I retweeted the ESPN PR release from this morning. You spoke, we listened. The Last Dance, April 19, 8 Central, ESPN. A 10-part documentary series chronicling Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls' quest for a sixth NBA championship. So, can't wait. It's going to be amazing. Looking forward to watching it. So, that got us to talking about what exactly was the better three-peat. The first run, Chris went with. The second run, Danny and I went with. I just thought the second run was so insane with Rodman and everything that went on with it. And I thought Danny made a great point. Like, the first three, it was incredible. Like, will they ever get by the Pistons? They did. Wow, can they win a second one? They did. Oh, my goodness. They got a third, and then what? I'm at the White Sox playoff game in 93, and word starts leaking. Michael Jordan is retiring. This was pre-baseball, before he ever announced about baseball. He's retiring. What? What do you mean he's retiring? And then they lose two titles. Houston wins them, and then here come the Bulls again. And then they go get Jerry Krause, makes a really gutsy trade, and gets Dennis Rodman for Will Perdue. Dennis Rodman? The guy that tackled Scottie Pippen into a basket support? The guys they were fighting with, everyone hated? That guy from Detroit, who's now in San Antonio, despised, he's our guy. And boy, oh boy, did everyone in this town flip quickly. Flipper soundtrack engaged. He was our guy. It was amazing. Amazing. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jake in Buffalo Grove. Hey, Jake, what's up, man?
Hey, Cap, how you doing? For me, the first run was better just because of the process and having to go through the Pistons and that dismantling, that 4-0 dismantling in the conference finals just set the tone for everything, and that's what I remember.
Yeah, look, the first championship was – the first three was sick. It was really cool. The second three for me just – that was otherworldly, man. It was just at a different level. So thanks, Jake. Appreciate it. Have a good day. Stay safe out there in Buffalo Grove. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. Smokey Bandit on Twitter said, second three-peat was what made Michael the greatest player of all time. He revamped his game from being a high-flying athlete to a smarter, better shooter from the field. He developed a post-up game and could get his shot off from anywhere on the court. He's exactly right. Let's go to Jeff in Evanston. 312-332-3776. Hey, Jeff, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, guys, thanks. For me, it was the second three-peat, and I'm glad I don't really have to choose. But, you know, that was validation. That secured our place in history. The first three-peat, it was great. It was great for us. But, you know, locally, it was only, what, 5.5 years since the Super Bowl? So it wasn't like this novelty of a Chicago team winning. And nationally, I don't know. Michael was great, but was that really a team that deserved a place in history? Maybe not. But after the second three-peat, you couldn't argue where we stand in history. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. The second three-peat was just, for those 3 years, man, I mean, I was there in Utah. I was there one time with Sylvie during that finals run when Michael had hangover, food poisoning, whatever, the flu, whatever it was. It was incredible. Hey, man, have a good day, okay?
You too, buddy.
See you, kid. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Jimmy in Geneva. Hey, Jimmy, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing, Cap, man?
I'm good, kid. How are you?
Good. I just want to let you know, man, the second run was probably my best. And I used to watch every game like you wouldn't believe. And I used to live, and I used to work out at East Bank before I had kids. So, And I would ride my bike out to the lake and run in June after a Bulls game, you know, the next morning, obviously, early in the morning. Then I'd go out to the burbs for work.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, one morning, I'm riding my bike back to my house or my townhouse. I live by Czech Kopic, by the way. And there's Dennis Rodman. 5:30 in the morning in this health club, I can't remember, was in the window doing the Stairmaster after a game the night before. And I thought it was incredible.
Yeah, he loved to party and he went at it hard. And I appreciate your call and have a great, safe week for you, Jimmy. Dennis Rodman, it was legendary that the game would end and he would get on an exercise bike. He would get on a treadmill. He would work out like a maniac, not for like 15 minutes. Like, he would get after it after playing 42 minutes and being soaked in sweat and going at it hard every night. He absolutely would go work out like a lunatic. That's what made him great, man. That's what made him great. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Tom in New Lenox. Hey, Tommy, what's up, man?
Hey, Sparkles, how you doing?
I'm good, Cookie. What's going on?
Hey, real quick, on that Jordan retirement game for the Sox, I'm fairly certain he threw out the first pitch that night. Do you? Is that true?
I cannot remember. Maybe Danny can find that out. That game?
I believe he did, man. I believe he came out of center field. And throughout the first pitch, and then the word started circulating that he was leaving.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. And then, here, how about this? So Walter Payton, may he rest in peace, showed up at Michael's retirement press conference at the Birdo Center. And Walter Payton was there. Danny, Chris, do you guys remember a sportscaster? I appreciate your call, man. Have a great day. Danny, do you remember a sportscaster named Jerry Riles?
Of course.
So Jerry Riles is covering the press conference. There's Michael and there's Walter Payton behind the set where they had the big Bulls backdrop. And Jerry Riles, smart guy, says, hey, can I grab a picture with you two? He's like the only one I know that has a picture of Michael Jordan at his retirement with Walter Payton and him in the middle. Yes. Timing is everything, man. And he stood right between those two and got a picture. It's an amazing shot to see. He should tweet that out. He absolutely should. 312-332-3776. Matt is in River North. Hey, Matt, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Cap. I remember they interviewed Norm Van Leer. It was in the late 90s after.
You know, that was my first radio partner.
Yeah, I run into him a bunch of times at Cub games. Great guy. And
best.
They asked him, you know, what was the best Bulls team out of all the six championships? And he said, by far, the team that won the second championship because they were deeper. Then they asked Phil, after he had won championships with the Lakers, he's like, would the Bulls have beaten the Lakers? He goes, first team three-peat would have beat the Lakers. Second three-peat, no. He goes, they're not deep enough. And Luke Longley would get destroyed by Shaq. He goes, and Kobe would hold his own against the older Michael. And he thinks we would have beat, you know, Lakers would have beat them. But it's kind of funny because the Lakers had a lot of the ex-Bulls on their team, right? Horace was on the team. Yep. Ron Harper was on the team. So how do you really compare? I guess you'd have to ask those guys what they thought.
Yeah, it would absolutely be. It'd be a fun discussion. But
do you remember Dr. Jack Ramsey saying that he thought his 67 Sixers team was the best team ever? He said, he goes, we had Billy Cunningham coming off the bench, Hall of Famer. And I got the feeling that people around the league did not respect Tony Kukoc's because of his terrible defense. You know, Phil didn't like him. Larry Brown didn't like him. Hubie Brown can't stand him. So they thought he was like a weaker link on the team. Yeah, is that true?
I don't know if it was to that level. I can tell you he's one of the more talented big guys I've ever seen. And in today's
game. What
about
his defense, though?
His defense wasn't great, but a lot of guys didn't play great defense.
But not on that team, though.
On that team, you had elite defenders. Michael,
well, you had
Scottie,
Harper. You had Rodman.
Right.
You had Jordan Pippen.
Yeah,
those guys had a certain mystique when they took the court. You know what I mean?
No question. And they took pride in their defense. Matt, I got to roll. Thanks,
okay.
Man. See you, kid. 312-332-3776. Who was the unsung hero of those Bulls teams? We're talking Bulls Dynasty with you, Quentin, Fat Mike, Big O, and you. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We will be right back on ESPN.
This is Cap and Company. Follow on Twitter at The Cap Man.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
People want to talk. Phone lines are hopping. Here for you, 312-332-3776. Danny, what'd you eat for dinner last night, kid?
Steak. Had a steak.
I made burgers last night. Grass-fed, 90% lean, 10% fat, cooked the burgers out on the grill, some habanero, hot pepper cheese, and I did some Brussels sprouts, cauliflower rice, and broccoli in olive oil. It was a delicious, delicious meal, not a carb in sight. Chris, what'd you have, kid?
I thought we were talking Bulls.
I am. I'll get there.
Okay. I think we did some leftovers. I think I had a leftover burger from the other night. I don't know if it had a keto-friendly vibe to it. I think there was a pretzel roll involved, Cap, when you toast the pretzel roll. Here are the keys to test toasting the pretzel roll.
Shouldn't there be music for keys, Chris?
No. We... my household, you put a little butter in the pan, you put the toast right in there, you let that pretzel roll toast up there, and you leave it there for a few minutes until it gets golden brown, and then you take it out of the pan.
That's it.
I think that's what I ate. I'm trying to jog my memory. I think there was some spin artichoke dip as well thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the burger, but on the side.
I think I'm doing macadamia nut crusted chicken tonight. Really good. Really good. And don't be telling me that I'm not claiming to have invented it. Okay? Just letting you know. 312-332-3776.
You're amazing.
Why?
What just happened? This is fantastic.
Did somebody text you about dinner or tweet you about dinner?
Nothing.
Why are we?
We've got full phones of people wanting to talk about the Bulls dynasty.
Hey.
We come out with the urgency to find out what we're eating for dinner.
Yeah. Nobody tweeted me. You can come check my Twitter timeline.
Did Mindy text you asking you what's for dinner tonight?
Mindy's not paying attention right now. She's in a meeting.
No, I know. What I'm saying is she may have texted you outside of knowing what we're doing on the show.
No.
And there was a...
she did not.
Inception that took place.
There was no inception.
You were incepted today, though, to pull back the curtain. After the first segment of the show, all of a sudden we see you FaceTiming, and Chris and I are like, what's going on? What's he doing in there? Then I look through Twitter, and I follow Danny from Schaumburg. He's a good buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. And I see that he tweeted you, did you FaceTime Jordan or Shea? You responded, of course I did. I love him. But you really FaceTime him at the urging of Danny from Schaumburg.
Well, I was actually going
to. So he incepted you.
No, what happened was.
He incepted you. Let's get to the Bulls callers. He incepted you. That it's you're just the easiest human being on earth to incept.
So Cap, Bobby, as we take calls on my spinach artichoke dip from last night,
yeah.
You put it in the microwave, you heat it up, and then you use it. Here's the key.
Not an artichoke.
Yeah. I use a chip to mix it, so then I don't have to clean a spoon or fork.
Yeah,
so I use the chip to mix it up, and I eat that chip. Even though the spin artichoke dip is not actually hot where I want it to be,
I don't have
it. I eat that chip, and I wait. I take a new chip, and then I mix it up again. I don't waste the spoon or the fork because that's more stuff that I have to clean.
Yeah, no chips in my house. Fat Mike's in Worth. Hey, Mike, what's up, kid?
What's up, Cappy? That the inception noises keep on making me think that there's breaking news coming through.
Yeah, same here. Same here. These two goofballs in the other room, they're unbelievable. What's going on?
I just wanted to tell a quick story. Back in the day during the last run, the last three-peat of the Bulls, my oldest brother, Brett, bought my grandmother a hair-color-changing Dennis Rodman T-shirt for Christmas, and it ruined Christmas. Like, she was so upset that she got this shirt, it ruined Christmas. So I ended up taking it. And I ended up wearing it like twice a week to school for the rest of the year. Everybody thought it was the coolest shirt on the planet.
Yeah, that Rodman shirt was crazy. I've had a bunch of people tweeting at me about it. That was really cool. And I actually had a buddy who was at one of the games. Remember when Dennis would take his jersey and throw it in the stands?
Oh, yeah.
And a buddy of mine actually caught it. And he's like, dude, that thing was literally like you had dunked it in a tub of water. That's how wet it was. He goes, and I didn't care. I did not care.
I just looked up that shirt to see if I could reorder it again because it was such an awesome shirt. On eBay, it's going for $120 for a T-shirt.
Crazy. Hey, man, stay safe out there.
You too, guys. Take care. Thanks. Right. Keep doing what you're doing.
You too. See you, kid. Stay safe.
When I was in college, it was the summer, I believe, of 1997. I was home for summer break, mm-hmm. and I was in desperate need of a haircut. And I always got my haircut in Lawrence, Kansas, because that's mm-hmm. where I lived 8 months of the year, 9 months of the year. Mm-hmm. So my sister went to a salon in Northbrook Court, and she knew the woman that cut the hair was a friend of hers. And she called her and said, can you slip my brother in? And she's like, he has to come right now because we're closing down the shop. So I rushed in. I had nothing else to do to get a haircut. And as I'm sitting there and she's cutting my hair, I said, my sister said, you're closing down the shop. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Why are you closing down the shop? She goes, Dennis Rodman's coming in. We're going to dye his hair blue. And I said, you got to close down the shop for that. And she said, it's such a secret what color he does his hair every time that we have to shut down the shop. And he leaves with like a hat on his head. So nobody sees it till the next game. And sure enough, the next game was the next day. And there he was on the court with blue hair. And I was so pissed. I begged her to let me stay there. I'm like, just let me stay. Pretend I work here. I want to meet him. But she wasn't having a part of it.
People in the room, the three of us, raise your hand if you were a kid in the 90s who dyed your own hair to be like Dennis Rodman. My hand's the only person
whose hand's up is Chris.
And I had hair back then. No, I never did that.
Yeah. Go to basketball camp like that. Come on, Cap.
What color did you dye it?
I don't know, all kinds of colors. Reds, oranges. Why not?
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have any pictures?
No.
I did one summer make the mistake of doing the sun-in thing. Remember that, where you spray?
It's called
sun-in. Yeah. I was a big sun-in guy.
And then you go out in the high sun school. And it turns your hair blonder.
Yeah.
And I had like some facial hair just on the chin. I thought I was all cool, and I sprayed the sun-in there.
Do you have a picture of that?
Probably somewhere.
I would love to see that.
Probably somewhere.
Sun-in. Do they still make that?
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean,
it's probably horrible for your hair.
You know, you can just use lemon juice, too.
Yeah, that's what they said. But I was all in. I mean, the marketing of sun-in. You could buy sun-in on Amazon.
They still sell
it
there.
On Amazon.
Wow.
You want me to get you a couple bottles?
Yeah, no, it's not going to really work. The only thing I buy is called...
What about for that chest hair of yours?
I actually trimmed it this weekend.
God bless.
I did it in the garage, actually.
Mindy owes me a thank you for that.
Yeah. She...
In the garage, what'd you use, a weed whacker?
No, I have a... what do you call it?
Yeah, a weed whacker. You're in the garage with the weed whacker going at your chest.
Yeah, no. And then the only product I keep is just for men, kid. That's the only thing I need.
Oh, we know.
Got to get that some of the gray out of my beard. Some of it. Anyway, 312-332-3776. Let's go to Quentin on the south side. Q-Man.
Hey, what's going on, Cap?
What's up, Q?
Yeah, I'm calling because I said I think the last three-peat was the best one to me because Jordan retired and came back because he had a whole lot of critics saying that he don't have it in him anymore or anything like that. Then another point I want to say, too, is, you know, you have a whole lot of critics saying how that era was garbage back then because how you let a guy retire for 3 years and come back and win three straight titles because actually he would have had eight if he hadn't retired because they would have beat the Rockets.
I think they would have won eight. You never know. I mean, those Houston teams were good, man. They had a lot of talent. They did.
Yeah, they're good. That Houston team was good, but I just think the Bulls was better, especially because they had Mike on the court, and like I said, and Rodman and Pippen had came into their own. I think the Bulls had a better team. And to me, Jordan would have retired with eight rings if he hadn't retired earlier. So that's my point. I'm just calling in to ask you all.
Hey, man, stay safe out there, okay?
You too, Cap.
T-Kid. 312-332-3776. We'll get back to more of your calls. We catch up with our guy, the birthday man, Jordan Cornette, is next.